Deception Bay, written by J.P. Powell and read by Ben Kinden. The late night shift was unusually quiet. Most of the drunks who'd been hauled in around midnight were sleeping it off in the cells out back, and the MPs who dragged them in were doing much the same in the upstairs mess. The blackout curtains blocked any light from escaping to the darkened streets below. Only muffled clangs from the dry docks and the rumble of a solitary truck gave any hint that workers toiled throughout the night. Alone at his desk, on the upper floor of South Brisbane Town Hall, Sergeant Joe Washington drummed a slow bongo rhythm on the wooden surface with his fingers and palm of his hand. He looked toward Major Mitchell's desk on the raised platform at the end of the room. Apart from the framed photo of his wife and that damn dog, the desk was, as usual, bare of paperwork or any other sign of activity. Mitchell was too senior to let night shifts interfere with his evenings. Joe lifted a fistful of pencils from the jar to his right and laid them out in a line. From both ends of the row, he selected a pencil and laid each of them on top of the others to form a second layer. One by one, he continued lifting pencils and placing them on top of each other until he had built a neat triangular structure. He leaned forward, squinting slightly, and reached for a wooden ruler. Onto the top of the triangle, he balanced the ruler, checked that the whole structure was sturdy, and tapped on one end. He watched the ruler seesaw from side to side. He tapped a second time and began to count. Suddenly, he was back in the playground on Coney Island. He could smell the salt from the sea and taste the sweetness of the vanilla ice cream bought from the fat man with the rainbow-colored hat. And he remembered the crippling embarrassment of having his mother, a short, squat woman in a dowdy black dress, partner him on the opposite end of the seesaw. He toppled the pyramid and tossed the ruler across the room. Today's courier mail lay open underneath the scattered pencils. RAF bombers over Europe, the Reds marching into Crimea, Liberator bombers hammering Truk, bodies washed up on sandy beaches, battleships blown apart by fearsome pilots, merchant ships sunk along the coast. 16 vessels lost last year, and the threat remained. The war was going well. People said so all the time. The end was in sight. But the number of casualties continued to rise, and Joe wondered what the final cost would be. Turning the pages in search of better news, Joe noticed another pet parade was imminent, a regular event at the Riverview Hotel. He loved photographing soldiers with their pets, burly sergeants fussing over dogs as they groomed them before the show. Last time he even saw the fierce quartermaster from base soothing a tabby cat cradled in his arms. The parade showed men at their best, Joe thought. It certainly made a change from the things he dealt with most days. He lifted a stack of folders and slammed them on top of the newspaper,